Hello and welcome to your GCSE History Revision podcast. Today we're diving into one of the most fascinating periods in English history, Henry VIII and his ministers, from 1509 to 1540. This episode will walk you through everything you need to earn top marks. When Henry came to the throne in 1509, he was just 17 years old. Handsome, athletic, highly educated, and bursting with ambition. He wanted to be a warrior king. But running a kingdom requires administration and diplomacy, and that's where his ministers come in. The two key ministers you need to know are Cardinal Thomas Wolsey, who dominated government from 1514 to 1529, and Thomas Cromwell, who rose after Wolsey's fall. A really common mistake candidates make is confusing the two. Wolsey was Henry's chief minister in the first half of our period. Cromwell came later. Today, we're focusing on Wolsey. Let's talk about Henry's character first, because examiners love questions about this. Henry in 1509 was what historians call a Renaissance prince. He spoke Latin, French, and Spanish. He played the lute and wrote poetry. But here's the crucial thing for your exam. Henry had an extremely strong belief in royal sovereignty. He believed God had chosen him to rule, and he did not like to be challenged. This is absolutely vital for understanding everything that follows. Now, on to Wolsey. Thomas Wolsey was the son of a butcher from Ipswich. His low birth made him useful to Henry, because unlike the great noble families, Wolsey owed everything to the king. He had no independent power base. By 1514, he was Archbishop of York. In 1515, Henry appointed him Lord Chancellor, making him the most powerful man in England after the king himself. And in 1518, Pope Leo X appointed him papal legate, giving him authority over the entire English church. Why did Wolsey rise so fast? Three main reasons. First, his administrative genius. Wolsey was extraordinarily hard-working and efficient. He handled the paperwork that Henry found tedious. Second, his usefulness to Henry. Wolsey managed government so Henry could pursue hunting, jousting, and diplomacy. Third, his loyalty. Wolsey was completely devoted to serving Henry's wishes. He understood his power depended entirely on royal favour. Let's look at Wolsey's domestic reforms. In justice, Wolsey expanded the Court of Star Chamber. This royal court dealt with cases involving powerful nobles who might intimidate local juries. Wolsey used it to show that the law applied to everyone, even the rich and powerful. He became genuinely popular with ordinary people, who saw him as a champion of justice. On finance, Wolsey introduced a new system of taxation, called the subsidy, which was more accurately assessed than the old 15ths and 10ths. It was based on what people actually owned. This was fairer and raised more money. However, his attempt in 1525 to raise money through the amicable grant was a disaster. The amicable grant was not a parliamentary tax. It was an attempt to raise money by royal demand alone. People in Suffolk and Essex refused to pay, and there was a serious rebellion. Henry was forced to abandon it. This shows the limits of royal power and the importance of Parliament in raising taxation. Now let's turn to Wolsey's foreign policy. His great achievement was the Treaty of London in 1518. 20 European nations agreed to a universal peace. It placed England at the centre of European diplomacy. Henry loved it because it made him look like a great peacemaker. Then in 1520 came the Field of the Cloth of Gold, a spectacular meeting between Henry and the French King Francis I, held near Calais. It lasted nearly 3 weeks and involved thousands of people, tournaments, feasts, and extraordinary displays of wealth. It was magnificent, but it produced no lasting political agreement. Examiners sometimes ask whether it was a success or a failure. The honest answer is a triumph of display, but a failure of substance. The key tension in Wolsey's foreign policy was the balance of power between France and the Holy Roman Empire, ruled by Emperor Charles V. Wolsey's strategy was to play France and the Empire against each other, supporting whichever side was weaker. By 1521, England had shifted towards an alliance with Charles V through the Treaty of Bruges. But here's the critical connection for your exam. Charles V was Catherine of Aragon's nephew, and that fact would eventually destroy Wolsey. Now we come to the great matter. This is the name historians give to Henry's desire to annul his marriage to Catherine of Aragon. By the late 1520s, Henry had been married to Catherine for nearly 20 years, and she had failed to produce a male heir. Their only surviving child was a daughter, Mary. Henry became convinced that his marriage was invalid in the eyes of God, citing a passage from the book of Leviticus which said a man should not marry his brother's widow. Catherine had previously been married to Henry's older brother, Arthur, who died in 1502. But there was also a personal dimension. Henry had fallen deeply in love with Anne Boleyn. Anne refused to become Henry's mistress. She wanted to be queen. So Henry needed an annulment, not just a divorce. An annulment would declare that the marriage to Catherine had never been valid in the first place. The problem was the Pope. Henry needed the approval of Pope Clement VII, but Pope Clement was effectively a prisoner of Emperor Charles V, who had sacked Rome in 1527. And Charles V was Catherine of Aragon's nephew. He was never going to allow the Pope to humiliate his aunt. This is why the foreign policy connection is so important for your exam. Wolsey tried everything. He attempted to hold a legatine court in England in 1529, presided over by himself and Cardinal Campeggio. The court met at Blackfriars in London. Catherine appeared in person and made a powerful speech defending her marriage. The court was then adjourned without a verdict, and the case was recalled to Rome. It was a complete failure, and it sealed Wolsey's fate. So why did Wolsey fall? The most immediate reason was his failure to secure the annulment. But there were other factors too. The Boleyn family, particularly Anne's uncle, the Duke of Norfolk, had long resented Wolsey's dominance. They turned Henry against his chief minister. Wolsey was also deeply unpopular with the English nobility, who resented his low birth. In October 1529, Wolsey was charged with praemunire, meaning placing the authority of the Pope above the king's authority. He was stripped of his offices and his property, including Hampton Court Palace. He died in November 1530, on his way to London to face trial for treason. Now, let's move to exam tips, because this is where I can really help you pick up marks. First, command words. When an exam question says explain why, you must give multiple causes and show how they link together. Don't just list reasons, explain the mechanism. Use phrases like this meant that, as a result, and this contributed to. When a question says how far do you agree, you must argue both sides and reach a clear judgment. Don't sit on the fence. Examiners want you to commit to a position and defend it with evidence. When a question asks how useful is a source, you must analyse both the content, what the source actually says, and the provenance, who created it, when and why. Second, specific knowledge. Examiners reward precision. Don't say Henry wanted a divorce. Say Henry sought an annulment from Catherine of Aragon in 1527, citing the Book of Leviticus. Don't say Wolsey was powerful. Say Wolsey held the offices of Lord Chancellor, Archbishop of York, and Papal Legate simultaneously. Third, the most common mistakes. Confusing Wolsey and Cromwell, describing events without analysing them, ignoring the role of the Boleyn family in Wolsey's downfall, and failing to connect foreign policy to the great matter. These connections are what separate a good answer from an excellent one. Right, let's do a quick-fire recall quiz. Cover your notes if you can. Question 1. What year did Henry VIII come to the throne? 1509. Question 2. What was the name of the Universal Peace Treaty Wolsey negotiated in 1518? The Treaty of London. Question 3. What was the amicable grant and why did it fail? It was an attempt to raise money without parliamentary consent in 1525. It failed because people in Suffolk and Essex refused to pay and rebelled. Question 4. What charge was brought against Wolsey in October 1529? Praemunire, placing papal authority above the king's authority. Question 5. Why could Pope Clement VII not grant Henry's annulment? Because he was under the control of Emperor Charles V, who was Catherine of Aragon's nephew. How did you do? If you got all 5, brilliant. If you missed any, go back and review those sections.
Let's wrap up. Henry came to the throne in 1509 as an ambitious Renaissance prince who believed strongly in royal sovereignty. Cardinal Wolsey rose to administrative genius, loyalty, and usefulness to the king. His domestic reforms included expanding the Star Chamber and introducing the subsidy, though the amicable grant of 1525 was a serious failure. In foreign policy, his greatest achievement was the Treaty of London in 1518, but his alliance with Charles V ultimately undermined his ability to secure Henry's annulment. The failure of the Great Matter, combined with the influence of the Boleyn family, led to Wolsey's fall in 1529 and his death in 1530. Remember, in your exam, always explain the why, not just the what. Use specific dates, names, and events, and make sure you connect foreign policy to the Great Matter. That's the kind of synoptic thinking that earns you the highest marks. Good luck with your revision. You've got this.